Time to meet the men from the ministry. Take another kick at the seat of government with Norma Ronald, Ronald Badley, John Graham, and the men from the ministry, Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Ministry men are like fitted carpets. When you get them in a corner, they're hard to pin down. But at the General Assistance Department, that eager young executive, Richard Lamb, is always up to date. If new equipment is installed, you can be sure he has a hand in it.
Mildred, this address stamping machine, I've caught my hand in it.
Oh, you are careless, Mr. Lamb. You got an address written on your palm.
Huh? Oh, so I have. Mrs. Llewellyn, the Berlin Wedding.
Now, don't you let the postboy see you, or he'll stamp you and shove you in his sack. Oh, it'll take you hours to scrub that off.
Waste of a morning. I could have been doing something useful, like sorting my stamp collection.
You and your stamp.
I got a new one last week. Look, a real beauty. Very rare, do not bend from the Foreign Office.
I never knew anyone collect rubber stamps before. I mean, what's so rare about this one?
Ah, it's a misspelling, you see. It actually says, do not bend. Just think, this stamp's been baffling postmen for years, and now it's mine.
Here, what happened to that big one that said fragile?
It broke.
Shame. And were you after a permission refused from the Home Office?
Yes, I wrote and asked them for one, and...
Well, what happened?
Well, they stamped my letter permission refused and said they hadn't got one.
Not.
Still, I got an interesting stamp last week, see? We ain't interested. That's from the Department of Education.
Morning, Joe. Morning, Newton.
Afternoon, one.
Oh, it's satire now, is it?
Well, I am a little late due to trouble at the railway station.
Oh, what happened, sir?
I was engrossed in my newspaper when the train pulled in and I got into the 8th carriage.
And that's why you were late?
Yes, blessed train only had 7 today. Felt a fool sitting there reading between the lines.
Along with the rest of the sleepers, eh? That Mr. Gregory again. He's been ringing all the morning.
Oh? What did he say?
I don't know. He didn't answer it. Can't mistake his ring.
Oh, dear me. Hello, General Assistance Department.
Lennox Brown, where the devil have you been all morning?
Ah, Sir Gregory. You're wondering why we didn't answer the phone? Yes. Well, it's faulty. It didn't ring, you see.
Didn't ring?
And when it doesn't ring, it's our usual practice not to answer it.
Ah, stop blathering, Lennox Brown. Now, this election business, you know Grimley North?
Grimley?
Grimley North is a place, a parliamentary constituency. Didn't you read the memo I sent you?
Memo? Yes. Of course, I read it. Oh, my word, yes.
It's a Gregory's memo, too. Find it.
Good. Yes, right. All right. What a guy.
Mean you certainly have a command of language, Sir Gustlin.
Listen, Lennox Brown, have you grasped all the facts?
Oh, yes, my number two has all the basic data in his head. In fact, I'd say he's got it in a nutshell.
Nah. I don't believe you read my memo at all.
Here it is, right.
Yes, you've read it all right, sir. Yes, I have it in front of me now in your own handwriting. Your secretary away, is she?
Matter of fact, yes. Spot a nervous trouble.
Ah, yes, of course, yes. Well, I gather that Grimley North is having a pie collection.
By election.
Didn't I say that, Sir Gregory?
Get the details from the Home Office and get on a train to Grimley.
I always thought constituencies supplied their own electoral officers.
Well, there are certain occasions when Whitehall steps in. Inadequate local facilities, say, or the need for extra impartiality or expertise.
And why are we stepping in this time?
They've all got mumps.
Oh. I'm rather vague about it. What happens exactly?
Well, your neck swells up and you feel off.
No. I'm in the election.
We'll worry about that later, too. But fortunately, all the preliminary work's been done by one councilman who didn't catch mumps. Mr. Rumbold.
My word. He must have been busy. He'll be glad to see us.
Why can't they keep the ruddy, bureaucratic London noses out of our by-election?
Can I quote you on that, Mr. Rumbold? I said, can I quote you on that?
No! I do all the hard work and they come in and snatch the glory.
Can I quote you on that, Mr. Rumbold?
No! Ooh, I could spit!
Can I quote you on
no!
Good morning, I'm Lennox Brown and this is Lamb here. We're from the General Assistance Department.
Oh, how nice. I am glad to see you.
That's not what you just said.
Get out, you sibling. Get back to that filthy gutter rag of yours. Get out.
Thank you very much. I said thank you very much.
Well, I'm Rumbold, Council Public Relations Officer.
How do you do? You've already done a little work on this by-election?
You might put it like that. Single-handed, I brought it back from the brink of disaster.
And now we are here to take it over.
By the way, what happened to your last Member of Parliament?
Brigadier Bletchworth. Oh, tragedy. A hunting accident.
Oh, dear me. Dear me.
Yes, he was under the bed hunting for his collar stud when the whole thing collapsed.
Oh, yeah.
Mind you, he had a good life. He was a sexagenarian.
Well, perhaps that's why the bed collapsed.
The election candidate should be here shortly. There's one now. Just got out of a sports car. Mrs. the dear Quincy Watling.
Oh, by Jove. Topless.
What? The sports car, yes.
Ghastly woman. Mutton dressed as lamb. Oh, Mrs. Quincy Watling, a pleasure to see you.
Morning, Rumbold. Called to hand you my nomination papers.
Oh, don't hand them to me. I'm not thought fit to receive them. Oh, no, we've got London down. I might as well go and...
Nomination papers, you say?
Yes, yes. Quite confident of victory, of course. Oh. I've got a splendid election slogan. If you don't want to see initiative throttling, vote for Mrs. De Vere Quincy Watling.
My word.
There aren't many words that rhyme with De Vere Quincy Watling.
No. What's the name of the other candidate?
Oh, no problem there. His name's Kelly.
Has anybody here seen him?
I'll do. Kelly, you'll not mind me, cycle clips. Some of us can't afford flash sports cars. Some of us has to work down the pit. Aye, the pit. And all that muck and darkness.
Mr. Kelly conducts the local theatre orchestra.
Well, you're here with your nomination papers, Mr. Kelly?
Aye, and I'm expecting to win.
Most householders have put my picture in their windows.
Aye, to scare off burglars. Please, let's keep our arguments for the public platform. Well, she gets right up my nose, I'm telling you. I know her lot. Kowtow to the bankers, live off the fat of the land. They're all the same, them socialists.
Well, all you Tories think of is buttering up the workers. People like you should be fought with.
This election's becoming quite heated, too. I imagine we'll get a large pull.
We'll need one to keep those two apart.
Well, feelings run strongly up here, you know, too. An election's a very big event. I'm sure the local people think of nothing else.
Come on, Rockwell. Oh, that's it, girl.
Fred, wake up. Your leg's going again.
Eh? Oh, what? Oh, it's you, Ada. Oh, I was having that bad dream again. You and the barmaid at the Rose and Crown was fighting over me.
Well, is that a bad dream, Fred?
Yeah, you kept winning. I'll just nod off and give her another chance.
You can't nod off again. It's your tea time. I'm laying the table. Put your boots on.
Why do you want me boots on the tea table?
It ain't decent eating prunes with no boots on.
Well, where's me coronation spoon?
Little Sidney dropped it down the wash name.
Our little grandson, he's been here. He's a bright little nipper, young Sidney. How old is he now?
Oh, it's his first birthday next week.
Funny, him coming so long after the others.
I reckon it was our Grace giving up smoking. We were talking about his school.
School? Well, he'll go to Arnott Street, won't he? It's one of them second-rate moderns. An apprehensive school.
My girls want him going to Arnott Street, Fred. I've got plans for that boy.
Plans, Ada?
I don't want him at no apprehensive school. I want him at that posh grammar school, St. Candida's.
The Candida? Where are you going to get the money for that?
There's what we got under the mattress.
You can't sell the bed, Ada. Where are we going to sleep?
I mean the insurance money. Oh. That's what I'll use, see? Once he's been to grammar school, he can get a top job.
Oh, yeah. Like a meter reader or working down labor exchange.
Aye.
But you've got to put his name down years ahead for the Candida. I saw that in the local paper.
Well, perhaps I'd better go down today. I wonder who I have to see.
Oh, well, the town hall would know. It was them that cleared our drains. Where's me best tea?
In the bowl with the walnut.
Oh.
I shan't be long. I'll just nip down the town hall and put little Sydney's name down for the Candida school.
Do come along, you'll go. You haven't got all day, you know.
I was just waiting up one. I can checkmate you on my next move.
Checkmate? Let's see. I think not to.
Hmm?
I shall use the Rudge defense.
You tipped the board over with your elbow.
Oh, did I? Oh, dear. The game's ruined now, isn't it? Never fails, the Rudge defense.
Is that Rudge of the Board of Trade?
Yes, that's him, an orthodox player. Played with the club, you know.
Hmm?
Yes, if you made a move you didn't like, he hit you over the head with it.
Poor old Rudge.
Excuse me, I'm from the Grimley Clarion. I said the Grimley Clarion. I was hoping to interview you.
Well, we're not here to seek publicity for ourselves. Oh. I'm Leonard Sprott, 2 N's. Raconteur, clubman, war hero.
And I'm Richard Lamb, his number 2.
How do you spell that?
T-W-O.
We're very busy here, of course. We have to stay in this office and receive all nominations as they come in. Whatever the number, they must all be dealt with personally.
How many have you had so far?
2.
I take it there's no independent candidate, then?
The day's not over yet. There might be other candidacies.
I noticed a woman waiting outside.
Oh, did you? Yes. Oh, we'll send her in, will you? Right, well, off you go.
Right, thanks.
Strange chap, that reporter. Have you noticed he has a blue tongue?
I expect it's because he licks his ballpoint before he writes.
Nervous, of course. It's written all over his face.
What about this woman outside? Do you think she's another election candidate?
Well, let's hope so, too. 2 isn't much of a choice, is it?
No.
Yes, I have a feeling this is another nomination coming up.
Oh, good afternoon, sir. I've come about our Sydney. Is this the place? I want to put him down for the Candida, see?
Ought to. I was right.
Well, come in, madam. Have you his nomination papers?
Oh, no. I don't know nothing about that. I just know you've got to put his name down in advance.
Yes, of course, yes. We'll fill in the form for him. Now, what is his name?
Higgs, sir. Sidney Higgs. He's my grandson.
Oh. Sidney Higgs. Now, what about his party?
Oh, that's all arranged for next week, sir. He's almost won, you know.
Oh, well, I mean, you can't take these things to granted, you can. Well, I mean, we mustn't be too optimistic, yeah?
Philly's taken the first steps.
Oh, he has, yes. He's been trying to stand for months.
Well, this is his big chance.
Very independent, he is.
Independent? Mm-hmm. Ah, see, yes. Write that down, too.
Yes, right.
Sidney Higgs, independent.
Independent, yes. Mind you, if he's independent, he'll need a big swing.
He'll be in, sir.
Oh,
but we've been looking for a safe seat, you see.
Well, you're certainly confident, madam, yeah.
The only snag is the exams. Will he have to pass any exams?
Oh, no. You needn't know anything to get in.
In fact, it often helps if you don't.
What'll happen to him when he gets there? His first day, I mean.
Well, he'll be introduced to the chamber.
Oh! He knows about that already, sir.
Oh, well, then he should do well, huh?
Yeah, the only thing left is the deposit. £150, please.
Oh, here you are, sir. Oh, that's very fair. I thought it was more. Still, I suppose we have to pay every year once he's in.
Oh, no. They pay him. Quite good money, too. Yeah.
Oh. No wonder they all want to go, dear. Well, I'll tell them it's all fixed up. Oh, thank you, sir. You've been very helpful.
Well, the election's properly underway now, too. Three candidates, and may the best one win.
Yes. Hello, this is Fort Robinson here at the Grimley by-election. Life in Grimley centers on this fine old square with its ancient buildings and Victorian horse trough in which I'm standing. Each day, from opposite sides, two loudspeakers blare at each other. Their names are Kelly and Quincy Watling, and they are the major candidates. Voters here have many issues to consider. I stopped one housewife this morning and asked her if she fancied a change, and in which field. This nasty bruise on my head is the result. But the main interest centers on the mysterious third candidate, Sidney Higgs, who hasn't spoken yet. Indeed, he hasn't even been seen. As a result, he's gained a lot of support. But why is Sidney Higgs standing? Is it because he feels it's time for a change? And just who is Sidney Higgs?
I'm back, sir. I said I'm back.
Oh, it's you. Keep walking around with that card on your hat saying press and somebody wins.
I've been all over town, like you said, trying to find out about Sidney Higgs. And no one's ever heard of him.
I didn't hear you say that. We've to feature all three candidates, and we will. Now, what would he look like, tall or short?
Bit of both, perhaps. I said a bit of both.
Ah, that's better, my dad. Now, what sort of colour would his hair be?
It could be brown with a name like that. Only more black, you know. Almost grey.
Good, good. And what are his policies?
Sort of middle of the road, extremist, with leanings to the left and to the right.
That's fine reporting. Now, we'd soon put together a couple of columns.
If you think anyone will be interested.
Everyone's interested. This Higgs is running a shrewd campaign. He's almost up to polling day without offending anyone.
The local paper's full of the election one. Look, it's got photos of all three candidates.
Oh, yes. There's Mrs. Quincy Watling and Mr. Kelly.
Yes.
And according to the caption, that's the independent Sidney Higgs.
Bit out of focus. Looks like a marrow with specs on.
Now, he's the one people want to know about. He's in all the national papers, you know. Look at these headlines.
Oh, yes. Silent Sidney may romp home.
Well, the country's eyes are on us, too. Just wait for election night. It'll all be on TV, you know.
Hello, this is Fort Robinson here in Grimley for election night. And a huge crowd awaits the result outside the town hall, many of them spilling over onto the forecourt with its statues and ornamental fountain in which I'm standing. It's been a very close contest, and for the last few days, both major parties have been working on a huge canvas. It's now stretched over the balcony and should keep the rain off. Over on my left, voluntary workers are handing out hot cups of tea. Now the crowd are stirring. But we've a while to wait for the result yet, so I'll hand you back to Anna Parv in the studio.
Thank you, Fort Robinson. We continue election focus with a word from Bob McFrenzy on the swingometer. Bob?
Well, it's a bit early yet to analyze the results, but we do have a pointer in the survey carried out on the opinions of Mrs. Mabel Green, a Grimley housewife. Now, she plumped 100% for the Tories. Anna?
Thank you, Bob. Well, if this result is reflected throughout the constituency, we should see a Tory win. Bob?
Thank you, Anna. We've just had the result of a further survey carried out on Mr. Green. He was 100% Labour. Anna?
Thank you, Bob. Well, that does change the picture. Labour has made a dramatic comeback. This is very exciting. Let's go over to Fort Robinson for his views.
Thank you, Anna. Yes, it's very exciting indeed. Now back to the studio.
Thank you, Forbes. However, there is an independent candidate. Bob?
Yes, I'd like to speculate on his chances, but this seat is rather unpredictable. In fact, I'm afraid it may collapse beneath me at any moment. Anna?
Oh, dear. He's fallen down on his assessment. Ah, Forbes Robinson is signaling. Let's go back to Grimley.
Thank you, Anna. And here at Grimley, the returning officer, Mr. Lennox Brown, has just come out on the balcony. And as he did so, a great cry went up from the crowd below. He'd knocked several plant pots down on their heads. It seems he's about to announce the result.
The votes for the candidates are as follows. Quincy Watley, Cecily DeVere, 9,010. Kelly, Anthony Wedgwood, 10,009. Higgs, Sidney, 12,691. And I declare the said Sidney Higgs duly elected to serve as Member of Parliament for Grimley.
Well, that's that job over too.
Did you see me out there?
Hmm? Yes.
Yeah. All the TV cameras on me, eh?
Yes.
Well, I did rather well.
Yes.
Spoke clearly, you know. Never faltered.
Air of calm dignity.
Yes. It's pity your trousers fell down.
Yes, well, I've been thinking about that. Just look at these braces. Those ends aren't frayed. That's a clean cut. Rumbold was right behind me, you know.
It's funny Higgs wasn't here for the announcement.
Oh, probably thought he had no chance. He'll soon turn up.
Excuse me.
Oh, it's that reporter chap.
I just popped in to congratulate you, Mr. Lennox Brown. You certainly showed us locals a thing or two. I said, you showed us a thing or two.
Yes, well.
And Mr. Lamb, Mr. Rumble, asked me to return your nail scissors.
Oh, thanks.
Nail scissors? I'll see you later, too.
Oh, and there's a Mr. and Mrs. Higgs waiting outside.
Ah, there you are, too. Yes, I said he'd be here. With his wife, it seems.
I'll send him in on my way out. I said, on my way out.
Two, you lent that devil Rumbold your scissors?
Well, I wasn't to know, was I? He just said he wanted to expose an ugly little blister. Anyways, it's one job that's really worth.
True, yes. Thanks to us, there'll be a new force in Parliament, a wind of change.
Evening, sir. Fred and me thought we'd come and thank you for getting our Sydney in, sir.
Oh. Well, just doing our job, you know.
We brought him along, sir. He's outside.
Oh, splendid, splendid. Yes, we were wondering when we'd see him. Wheel him in.
Why, do you know, Anne, I was beginning to think he wasn't real.
Well, you mean a sort of dummy candidate?
Yes. Here he is, sir. Meet our grandson, Sidney Higgs.
What a charming... This is Sidney Higgs?
Yes, sir. This is Sidney. What you got into grammar school like we asked.
Grammar school? Got into... What?
I get into Nadget's one. I think we've made one of our little boo-boos.
You're excited, Nadget, too. Yes. You've had a baby elected to Parliament.
Yes, but I mean, how do you...
No, that's true. I said Nadget's not boggling. Now, what we've got to do is find a way out of this.
And here is the news read by Anna Pearl. It was announced today that the newly elected MP for Grimley, Mr. Sidney Higgs, has applied for the Chiltern Hundreds. The traditional way for an MP to give up his seat. A ministry spokesman said he was resigning in order to pursue his business interests. Mr. Higgs is in waterproof materials. A correspondent who managed to get Mr. Higgs on the phone said his only comment was, Izu didums. He was interrupted by the ministry spokesman, who said this was a reference to Sheikh Izu didums, a little-known Middle Eastern politician. Another by-election will be held in Grimley immediately.
I see you back then. They couldn't give me the job, oh no. Well, I don't care. I'm not ambitious. They can pass me over any time. I'm only a...
Dear me. If he gets more lines on his forehead, he'll have to screw his hat on.
Still, everyone else is happy. Little Sydney's accepted the St. Candidates. Did you know?
Well, yes. I mean, they could hardly refuse him, could they? Steward of the Chiltern Hundred.
Ex-MP. Three firms have offered him a seat on the board, apparently.
And we've made a good start on the new election. You've got the two nominations there, have you?
Three nominations.
Three?
Yeah, I found another while you were at lunch. In this tray here. Someone called Rupert of Danzig. Old chap, from the look of his nomination paper, he's had distemper three times.
Two. Put that back in the dog license tray.
What?
Put it away.
Oh,
up the poll, as the men from the ministry were Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Also featured were Norma Ronald, Ronald Dadley, and John Graham. The program was written by Johnny Mortimer, Brian Cook, and Edward Taylor, and produced by Edward Taylor.